Welcome to the Doghouse. Big news in the motorcycle racing world, what we're going to talk about in depth. It's not all good. It's not all bad. It's a mix. And we're going to talk about Supercross. But it's big news. Big news doesn't have to be good news.
Huge news.
Do we want to talk about that first, or do we want to jump into Supercross?
Well, I think we should talk about that first because, be honest with you, not much to talk about, in my opinion, in Supercross, other than don't when the Red Cross flag is waving, do not pass. But hey, anyway, we can talk about that and how that changes the outcome of races. But we'll save that for the Supercross section. So let's talk about what happened in MotoGP. It's not a big secret. It's been going on since, I believe, they were hinting at it back as early as January, late December of last year.
Here's what I'll say. They made one little mistake, right? And I understand, and I don't understand it, how they made this mistake, because you would think they'd be smarter than that is, but they announced it was final on April Fool's Day.
I know.
Aaron, no one believed it.
We've had listeners saying this is coming a while ago. We've had all this stuff. There's been all kinds of talks and all kinds of rumors and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But then they announced it on April Fool's Day, and I sat there and I bit my tongue on everything because I wasn't sure. And I just think that was poor planning on their part.
It was probably poor planning, but remember, I don't think everybody celebrates April Fool's Day, except in the U.S., right? Yeah.
Clearly the purchaser does. It's a U.S. company.
It is a U.S. company, which you would think on the surface, you know, as a U.S. individual and show, would be great news until you do some digging into the company that actually bought it. And we should talk about the parameters of
Liberty Media,
because everybody who doesn't follow it as closely as we do thinks that Dorna owned MotoGP, and in fact Dorna did not own MotoGP. They owned the commercial rights to MotoGP, which is where all the money is, right?
I mean, it's all the TV contracts, it's just leasing. It's like Supercross is actually owned by the AMA.
Well, it's a little bit more than leasing, because it's perpetual until they get rid of it.
We'll get a better deal.
We'll talk about that. Yeah, you decide to sell it. But they own it. They own the rights. But what they did, we should mention Liberty Media. That would have been a better poll. I agree.
It'd have been Rossi.
Limu is going to race. Liberty Media, which probably most people don't know by the name, but I'll give you a couple hints at it. Sirius XM is Liberty Media. But people don't know the roots of it or the story behind Liberty Media. And if you read the Wikipedia, it'll give you a lot of good information about the history of Liberty Media. And it's pretty accurate, actually, from other stuff that I read. So it probably was probably posted by them. But anyway, their roots are basically Turner Communications. And if you're a conservative, you hate them, Ted Turner. But if you're a wrestling fan,
he wasn't a bad guy. And Classic movies, the colorized like old black and white movies that he put color to in the 80s and 90s to get people to watch his station.
Yeah, Jimmy Stewart doesn't look pinkified very good.
No, he doesn't. It was like a hit or miss. There were some things that were good, some were really good. And other things you're like, no.
Scarlett O'Hara was truly Scarlet. So that's sort of the origin of it, but it changed a lot. And of course, Ted Turner went on to, you know, greener pastures. But in any case, that was the original thing. But what they've done is, if you remember, I think it was the Wolf of Wall Street, where he would buy up companies and then take them apart, right? I don't know if it was the Wolf of Wall Street.
That was Pretty Woman. That was Richard Gere and Pretty Woman.
Okay. But any case, it doesn't matter. That's kind of what Liberty Media does, right? They buy up assets from companies, and then they leverage that asset to buy other things, and then they end up liquidate. Thank you. They liquidate portions or all of them. So what the deal was is that they bought Dorna. Yeah, they didn't buy MotoGP.
Yeah.
They bought more. Yeah, they bought Dorna, 86% of Dorna. Dorna retains 14%, and they continue the management. Their management team stays intact. and they continue to manage it, which is completely meaningless. Which, by the way, I would say, did you read about Liberty Media, Dorner, before you signed this? Because you're pretty much dead men walking. Okay, because they retain 14% of, which gives them no control, zero control whatsoever, and Liberty Media can do whatever they want with it. They can sell whatever they want. They can sell it to, you know, they. Now, here's where I think this is Ken's opinion. This is not anything of record or even rumor, but this is Ken's opinion. World Superbike is going to be the victim of this because they have Dorna. Dorna already own the commercial rights to both MotoGP and to World Superbike. There's already been rumors that have been going on for several years now about the possibility of, excuse me, of World Superbike and MotoGP being merged, which would basically be the end of World Superbike, or the possibility that World Superbike would be spun off, because World Superbike's not a moneymaker. It's just not been a moneymaker for a long time. So the big moneymaker is MotoGP. I'm not going to say they're losing money on it, but they're not making the kind of money clearly that you make from MotoGP. And MotoGP adds races, and World Superbike deletes races, and they've been shrinking for as long as we've been covering it. They've had pretty consistent shrinkage. They have shrinkage.
Now have what you just described as a spinoff of World Superbike. It's kind of out there by itself, because my understanding is they didn't get World Superbike as part of the $4 billion deal.
No, they got everything.
They got Dorna. Dorna has the commercial rights to both MotoGP. They bought Dorna. They didn't buy MotoGP.
Well, in Warren's defense, there were a lot of unclear articles on this.
Yes,
they
were.
Bought MotoGP, but not the other. But then when you read it and you see they bought Dorna, so they got the women's championship. They got the endurance championship, MotoGP, Moto 2, Moto 3, Moto E. Like, they bought Dorna. They didn't buy the rights just to one series.
Correct. That's correct. They bought Dorna. Right. And so they got Dorna.
Like the first couple articles I read said the same thing. And wrong. I was like,
you got to read what they
do that.
Yeah, you got to read what the deal is. If you read the details of the deal,
Let me just say this for the listeners.
Yeah.
The article on worldsuperbike.com explaining it is way better than the article on MotoGP. I don't understand why
I didn't read the one on MotoGP. I read on Crash, and I read on, I think, Road Racing World about it, and then dug into it a little bit more. But anyway, so they basically got everything that Dorna had. Even things that we don't even know about that are completely unrelated. They got all that by buying Dorna. Yeah. So they have, So the new entity, Dorna, gets 14% in addition to $4.5 billion. Excuse me. But it gets paid out in a weird way, like over many years. It's not like Dorna gets a check for $4.5 billion. They get some exchange in that 14%. And then they get some, based on certain milestones being achieved over many years, from what I could see, I think out to 2040 something, I think it is, that the final, the deal is fully consummated. But they still own 86% of Dorna. Dorna would have to sue if any part of the deal didn't come through, and they have the rights to sell anything. Right. So Liberty Media bought, in 2017, they bought F1. Which, if you go and look at the performance of F1 in those years, not good. Not good at all. F1 has been they sort of have hit like a flat spot after like 2018, and they haven't really grown or shrunk too much, but they've lost a lot of attention in that time.
Especially in
the U.S.
Well, I mean, they just had their most successful weekend in a long time.
That is true.
In Las Vegas.
Yeah, that is right? true.
That's the best thing they've done.
But you wouldn't have known it, Phil, if you didn't follow it.
Yeah, right?
Right?
Like, I follow F1, so yeah, I get
right.
that.
Right, yep.
But here's the other thing, though, is F1's problem, and MotoGP and World Superbike, they all have the same problem. And I'm a little shocked. The problem is that they have one manufacturer that's like outpacing everybody else, and a couple other guys behind that, and then nothing. And I don't see that sustainable.
As much
as I hate NASCAR
and
the car tomorrow and the I like to me the biggest problem NASCAR has isn't the car tomorrow, it's the chase. But
oh yeah, it's horrible.
And I don't mean like I still watch NASCAR. It's not like I hate NASCAR. Mm-hmm. What I hate about it is that they took away some of the natural rivalries.
Yep.
And I think Formula One increased the natural rivalries, and to my chagrin, that was wrong too. I was wrong on my decision on that because it made the racing worse.
Yeah. Yep, I agree.
And now MotoGP, right? Like they're having a hard time figuring out what do we do to slow down the Ducatis? What do we do to slow down this? What not slow down, but what do we do to help the other guys catch up?
Right.
I don't know.
So we'll see. I mean, you could get the book of no accountability out, but I give World Superbike 2 years before they're either sold off to a small group somewhere because they're not worth a lot. They'll get sold off, I think, to some small group, which I think will be like the death knell for World Superbike.
You got to have big bucks, though.
I mean, Liberty Media's got the money. The problem is the way they play with it, right? Yeah. Nothing. I mean, I can't say anything wrong about it. It's a, you know, they're capitalists, and I can't complain about what they do. But they leverage their assets, and I don't blame them for doing that. But the downside of that is every one of their assets is expendable.
Here's what I was like. If I was looking at it, and I had all the money in the world, and I just got my tax return today. So
you pretty much do.
I literally have $2. I got dollar state, dollar federal. Nice. But here's what I'm gonna say. If I had all the money in the world and I was looking to buy that, I would almost say that I don't want to give up World Superbike racing. Right? Mm-hmm. But I think I would do that maybe instead of Moto 3. Donk off World Super. Combine.
Yeah, no, that. I wouldn't drop Moto 3. It's very, very important development. That's for development Moto level. 2. I think you need all three of those.
Yeah.
I think you need all three of them.
Well, maybe, I don't know. There's not enough time.
The question is World Superbike has become more and more almost, now I know they go to Australia and people are going to say, you know,
it becomes a European championship.
It really is a European championship if you look at it from that standpoint, sell it to some big European concern. There's plenty of them, and I think that's
The European championship. They already have CEV.
Yeah, but I mean, do you think that if World Superbike got would not be something that someone would be interested in Europe? I think there's a lot of people have money don't to do with it in Europe that would consider that, you know. I mean, first I'll look at Audi and their little ploy with Ducati, remember when Audi bought Ducati. So I could see somebody stepping in Europe with deep pockets, but not maybe not deep at the level of like a Liberty, you know, Liberty Media. I almost said Liberty Mutual again.
It's hard. It's hard not to say it.
Well, I would rather be saying Liberty Mutual. So that's why. You know.
Yeah, I don't
know. So anyway, that was the big news of the week. Not the surprising news. Like I said, the talk's been going on for quite some time. The weird thing was everybody said this was going to have a hard time getting through the European Union approval process. It didn't. It just flew through. What does that tell you, Phil? When an American company tries to buy something that's been European dominated, it's usually impossible to get it through. So what does that mean? I think a few palms got greased, right?
Oh, well, I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
Money.
Warren, you were going to say something.
I was saying money.
Yeah. Yep. Money talks, right?
That's the way you do business.
That's right.
Well, the one big thing that I hope is a takeaway from getting an American company owning MotoGP is maybe at least a second MotoGP race in North America.
It's a possibility, but remember,
Tennessee Track's going to try.
I think they want that. I mean, I even think Dorna wants that.
Yeah.
And I think the problem that they've had, right, is what does the development of new major tracks in the U.S. look like? They're rare.
Yeah.
They're very rare. And then if you look at most tracks in the U.S., there's really only four or five that could host. You know, you got Indy's done it in the past. You've got Laguna Seca. You've got Coda, and now this Tennessee track, right?
Yeah.
So like that's the problem. There's many more choices in Europe. Why? Well, you know why? Because of Formula One, which is a big deal in Europe, but it's a small deal in the U.S.
Yeah, we built the wrong kind of tracks here.
We do. And I agree.
Most of our race, most of our road racing tracks are weekend track day things.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
Right? Like you know, I mean, I love VIR. I love Barber, but they make more of their money on weekend track racing than they do big events.
Exactly.
And our big event track. I mean, like, listen, the only track other than the three we named, and maybe the one in Tennessee, but the only other one we got that could really handle the equipment, the buzz, the people, is probably Daytona, and I just don't ever see MotoGP racing.
Yeah, the people's the big challenge. The people's the big challenge because Watkins Glen is a great track, but the problem is they cannot host people. You can't host 50,000, let alone 150,000.
Yeah, you can't fit them in. Right.
Right.
Phil, you are right. Daytona could handle the people with no problem.
But I don't think they want to put a MotoGP bike on the high bike.
On the high bike.
No, they don't. They don't. There's only so much infield. It works pretty good for the smaller series. I don't know that you'd ever see MotoGP.
Oh, I don't think I don't think it's the infield. I don't think they want to put the bikes on the high bank.
Well, that's part of it. But if you try to keep them in the infield, there's not enough infield is the problem for a full track, right?
So here's the other thing that I'm going to say. Is there was one thing that I liked about the announcement that I read, and that is that in 2027, they're not going to drop down to 850cc bikes.
Yeah, good.
Right? Like,
we've been through that before. Why do they have to keep repeating the mistakes they've made in the past, right? We just got back to 1,000cc's after they dropped down from 1,800 and then went back up. Well, the problem they have right now is they have to squeeze down all the other series if they do that.
Yeah.
Right. They wasn't a problem.
They finally got a Moto 2 package that I think is great.
Yes, exactly.
First time in a long time.
Yeah. I mean, Moto 2 was the premier beneficiary of MotoGP going back to the 1,000cc bikes because they were able to jump up to the bigger bikes.
Motor
which I think is a much better decision in the long run for the premier series, right? To have these guys racing.
Helps develop guys further. I think it gets them
a lot more than when they were riding 250s. Yeah. Remember, it was like ridiculous. So, anyway. Yeah. Right. Anyway, there you go. So there you go. That's the Liberty Media, Liberty Mutual deal that was struck. So
Liberty.
Rossi and Doug.
Limo.
Yeah. Now, that'd be a great commercial. It's Rossi and Doug.
The possibilities of the commercial would be like, you know, you have like Rossi be like, hey, in my country, we eat the big chickens. So we don't.
You don't think they do like Bagnaia and Doug?
No, they want somebody the racing? World's heard of.
Yeah, right.
Oh, Dagger.
Yep.
Dagger. And speaking of people the world hasn't heard of in forever, when we get to the 450s, I read some Casey Stoner comments, and I guess just in Australia, they just have crying people because
that's sort of his reputation.
Jet Lawrence's dive. But let's get into the 250s before we
go
to
that. He's a homer. He's a homeboy, right? 250s
West.
We're basically finishing up the West. We've got a couple more stops and then they're done.
The
West.
Well, let me get to my 250 news item.
Oh, Faulkner. Yeah.
Faulkner is going to come back at the next 250 East event. So I guess
it's autographs and
I was going to say he's going to attend.
Finally out of the hospital?
Yeah.
He's been riding the bike and the doctors are giving him clearance.
When he walks across, is he going to go like $6 million man? We've rebuilt him.
Yeah, right.
Doctor, we've put $18,000 worth of parts in him. Listen, he should be Trey Kinnard Jr.
Yeah, exactly. He is Trey Kinnard Jr. He should be much more flexible now that he's broken up some of those bones in his back that were in the way.
I don't think this is a good move for him. But, I don't either. You know, he's trying to stay relevant. For a young guy.
Well, I mean, he needs to think about what happens when you get to be my age. You have to be able to move, right?
You didn't think that far ahead when you were that age.
Look at Ken now.
Nope. Yep. And look at me. Yeah, right. Look at me now. Yeah, I'm held together by duct tape. So All right. So, yeah, let's talk about. All right. Was there anything else you want to say about Austin?
Why don't we have somebody who wants to win a 250 championship? Levi Kitchen is like, hey, hold my beer. I got this.
I watched this and I was thinking the thing that I noted right away was, wow, Joe Shimoda ate his Wheaties. The problem was Levi Kitchen ate the rest of the box.
Oh, I was going to say, right? Levi Kitchen ate Joe Shimoda's Wheaties too.
But that was the first time I saw, you know, for more than a single race, Joe Shimoda actually
was there. Yeah, it's the first time this year he's put together anything in a row.
Yep.
I have to figure that Jordan Smith and RJ Hampshire are just cursing the gods. Like, this should have been my year. Who the hell is Levi Kitchen? And who fed Cheerios to Joe Shimoda? Because those guys are just every time
those are the guys are saying next year right now.
Yeah, and they've been saying next year for the last 5 years.
Yep.
Right, and it's almost time to be like, you're gonna be a never was.
Yeah, Levi Kitchen looks like he's headed for the 450s next year.
Levi Kitchen looks like he's headed for seeing Cirola's seat.
At this point, I mean, who else would you take up?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm still be willing to bet a little bit of money. Because now you can bet on Supercross, gamble on Supercross. I don't know if you guys caught that little piece of news.
You can gamble on anything, Warren. Well,
they have a deal.
We gamble on everything.
Exactly.
But they have a deal where you can legally gamble on Supercross America. Anyway, I'd be willing to bet a little money that CN Cirillo doesn't finish his season still.
He's going to be back.
I don't know. When he gets injured anymore, nobody worries about him anymore. They know because they're used to it.
And they just keep paying him.
Yeah, just keep paying
him. He's like Office Space. We should change his name to Office Space.
It's part of the deal. Like, I think it probably says in his contract.
3 years, we just kept paying him.
Yeah, I think in the contract, all it requires is at the end of the season, he's still breathing. That's all that matters.
They're like at the end of the contract, they're like, you're still Adam Cianciarulo. If he can answer yes, they're like, yeah, we're going to sign you again. But yeah, so there's that. I think Justin Barcia just secured his ride for next year.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
We're moving up to the 450s now.
We're done. Levi Kitchen looks like he wants to win, and I'm not going to jinx him because, damn it, somebody needs to decide they're going to win in the 250s. And I'm just happy to see somebody that wants to win.
I don't think anybody will ban you from the show forever.
When's the last time we've seen no one wants to win? When's the last time we've seen anything like this where every time you even got a hint that somebody wanted to win, that they just gave up?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I still think the usual suspects are going to be favorites, right? It was a miserable weekend for Jet. He got caught up in the Red Cross flag stuff. He also got T-boned.
Casey Stoner was whining about that. And he's like, T-boned? It was hard to see. You know what everybody else did?
Yeah, everybody else did.
Six out of 22 missed it. Yeah. That means, Casey Stoner, I know you're not good at math, right? But that means 16 people saw it.
That's because the other 22 are blue flag. They couldn't go fast anyway.
But I'm just saying,
they got the blue flag before they even came close to
I
the
never thought I'd say this. I say this about somebody who swept a triple crown. But that was probably the least meaningful triple crown I've ever seen. Ever. I don't think it means anything about Eli Tomac's abilities.
No, yeah. That was nothing. Okay, here we go. I watched the races. Then I went back and I looked at the results and I'm wait a second. I got to watch the races again. Because how the hell did Eli Tomac, Mr. Plain Jane, get three wins? And I went back because I'm like, maybe I fell asleep.
Supercross history.
The winner of last night, due to Jet Lawrence's problems, was actually Cooper Webb.
Oh yeah,
he's only eight points behind now.
Yeah, and Sexton pulled him close too.
Yeah,
right. 20 points.
Points, but I mean Cooper Webb. Cooper Webb's right there.
Barcia.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he didn't.
I don't think he has a seat next year.
No, exactly.
Oh no, I don't think anyone will agree.
I mean, he was so hard on the brakes, his back tire was off the ground. Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I know people are saying he overcooked it into the corner. I'm gonna say this.
Yeah.
A, we see that all the time, and B, Jet Lawrence pulled 4 feet inside of his brother to try and pass his brother.
Yeah.
Like, he was way off the outside racing line. Yeah. Like, there were two lines out there. And
yeah, I don't think
Barty
had squared it up. I don't think they – did they penalize anybody? No, I don't think so. Just the ones that – for the red cross flags. That was it.
Yeah. So, yeah, Jet squared it up way too early. No one was expecting somebody to square something up, square that up that early in the race.
And you know how Jet is. If Jet really thought that it was that you know it was wrong, he'd been wrong. He'd been screaming about it nonstop, and he wasn't saying anything.
The dive was him screaming about it. You want to talk about a fake ass dive? Yeah. Like, oh, my arm, my leg, my uterus is hurt, and then he gets up and he like prances around and he's riding a bike.
Again. Yeah, yeah.
Sidney Crosby was like tweeting at him, like, "Well, I coached you well, young Padawan."
But anyway, so
Gainis called and he asked Jet Lawrence for his dive back. That's what I'm saying.
So the only person that I saw that was like really making a big deal after the race, and I would say hold your breath, was Eli Tomac. That was it. I said, you know, come on, the stars line up once in a lifetime. Yeah. Enjoy it and move on.
He's a two-time champ. Stars lined up once in your lifetime. Ain't a two-time champ.
That ends when you retire.
Two more times than either any of us.
That ends when you retire.
I think he just needs to win. I just think he needs the podium one more time to surpass the GOAT as the most podiums of all time.
Yeah, that and $100,000 won't buy you a championship. Okay, and he's got no hope of that.
Some of those stats are like useless because
they are useless.
You race way past your like. There are guys who win five championships in a row and retire or something like that, like Villopoto, who won four or five in a row and then retired, who probably had a bunch more podiums in him. But he's like, you know what?
Right.
I can live the rest of my life not being Chad Reed.
Yeah. I mean, if you count podiums,
look how many podiums Chad Reed has in the LCQs over the last 40 years.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, and I know Phil's not going to like hearing this, but
I don't like it already.
I mean, I think it's down to Jet and Cooper. I think that's what we're looking at for the championship. and be honest with you, even when we know he has bad weeks, but will Cooper be able to get more points than Jet? I don't know.
Here's the thing.
And good at collecting points.
Is that when you look back at this season right now, right? It's like, how the hell did Cooper end up in second in points? We're never talking about him dominating a race.
He's had
a couple wins, but they're like, that was a lucky win.
If it wasn't a violation of the prime directive, I'd say go pull the book of no accountability. But since we can't do that. Right. I told you we can't do that. But I think we did. I think all of us gave consideration to Cooper in our
preseason. Yeah, no. I'm going to say this. When I look back at, what was it, 2019 that he won? Mm-hmm. 2021, right? This is the kind of season he comes out on top. That one where he's like floating around and he's like syphilis. You just can't get rid of him.
He's within reach. He just keeps himself within reach.
And he's doing that this season. He's like a cockroach. You step on him, you turn around and he's like laughing at you.
And that's a doghouse compliment when we say that.
Yeah, no, like that's not bad. Like we respect the guy who doesn't go down.
That's praise, doghouse style.
Yeah, that is definitely that. But you know, so I don't know if Jet Lawrence has the fortitude to stand up when it's going to get ugly in about four rounds from now.
Yeah, we'll find out. I wouldn't be surprised if either one of them won it, but I would be shocked if anybody else managed to pull themselves.
I'd be shocked. Point. Even Sexton is only 20 back.
No. 20 points is a lot in Supercross.
It's going to turn into a slobber knocker and web wagon runs over stuff. Jet Lawrence dives. You heard it here. This has been the Doug Oscar on NTNRadio.com. We'll be back next week with more racing and stuff. And I will have witnessed a solar eclipse.
Don't look at it.
I bought special glasses.
Don't take them off.
In Mexico.
Don't take them off for a clearer view.
I'll be in Mexico. I'm not sure they even have clear.
Don't eat the burritos.